We have a great subscription offer for all our listeners. Subscribe to our digital edition for 12 months for just $24.99. That's 6 issues of our award-winning magazine delivered to your inbox for less than $4.20 an issue. Only $24.99 for a full year. So don't wait. To subscribe, go to australiangeographic.com.au/talkingaustralia. That's australiangeographic.com.au/talkingaustralia.
G'day, I'm Justin Walker and I'm talking to Ron Moon today. From guiding rafters down Tassie's mighty Franklin River to retracing the journeys of early European explorers, Outback travel expert Ron Moon has seen more of Australia than most, and he joins us today on Talking Australia. G'day Ron, how are you mate?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Trying to get away again and get away from the weather down here in Melbourne. But yeah, we're stuck here for a little while at the moment.
Now, everyone knows you as an outback travel guru, but your life adventures started well before then, didn't it? From when you were in the army, diving and fishing, touring through the country in an old Holden, and then guiding rafters down the Franklin and heaps of other stuff. So, can you tell us a bit more about those early days?
Yeah, well, look, I grew up in the Northern Territory and Northern South Australia, and ended up on the coast at Christie's Beach back in the early 60s, and we started spearfishing and diving, and that was my main impetus to travel in those early days, up until I was in my mid-20s, early 30s even. And it was diving that took me all around Australia and even to Australian spearfishing championships and all those sorts of things. But they were great times. And, we crossed the Nullarbor a couple of times in the late 60s, 1967, 68. And, when it was a dirt road between Sejuna and Norseman and the old FJ Holden was clattered across. And, of course, people were doing things like that, and more adventurous even, without four-wheel drives or anything. It was just, they were just normal cars, but they had high clearance.
We chatted about when I was chatting a few years ago about rafters and guiding rafters down one of the first commercial trips down the Franklin. I didn't expect to see you in the water, mate.
Yeah, well, I started to do a bit of photography for Wildtrak Adventures, who became part of Peregrine Group. And, we sort of went up the Snowy River and the headwaters of the Murray, and then we paddled the Mitchell River up on Cape York. And they were all recce to see if they could be made into commercial trips. And I remember I led a trip down through the Murray Gates where we almost lost a guy in one of the big rapids there. And I came back from that and swore I wouldn't go rafting again. But Peregrine rang me up and asked me if I'd go down as photographer for their recce down the Franklin. And I thought, oh, what an opportunity. I'd love to do that. So, yeah, I went down there again. But I was a very subdued character. I got to say, especially in the Great Ravine where you got those big rapids and, you're surrounded by those high cliffs and it was just phenomenal.
Man, that sounds awesome. Now, the next thing is when you became editor of 4x4 Australia, you were there for a number of years and then you sort of must have been a bit of a keen reader of the early history of Australian explorers as well, because you organised and led a number of four-dive expeditions retracing the routes of those early adventurers. Like, can you tell us a bit more about that?
My great-great grandfather went with Charles Sturt on his 1844 expedition into Central Australia. So I've always been keenly aware of oceans they went through, and it was something that I always enjoyed following up. And I guess I'd done it in a light-hearted way initially, and then I got a bit more serious about it further on. And when I became editor of 4x4, it sort of gave me the opportunity to go and do those sort of trips with good equipment and a bit of expertise amongst our group and all those sorts of things. So I guess one of the best ones I ever done was the following of the Jardine expedition up on Cape York, Frank Jardine and a small group of men took 900 cattle up through from Rockhampton, basically up the west coast of Cape York to Somerset, and founded Somerset back in the 1860s. So we had the great-grandson of Frank Jardine with us, and it was a fabulous trip. Lots of challenges and a lot of stuff like that, fair bit of cross country as well, away from any tracks and all those sorts of things. We had a TV crew with us from Channel 7, and that was a fabulous trip.
Fantastic, mate. Now, speaking of those trips, you're in a four-wheel drive, so obviously it was a lot more comfortable than those early pioneers who did the same on horseback. You must sort of wonder how tough those guys were.
Yeah, look, yeah, I've got the greatest admiration for those guys and those early explorers who, went on horseback initially, and then later on they got camels, and which could withstand the desert environment a lot better. But, you only got to go up there yourself, and you have a day in the 40s, 40 degrees or whatever, and you think, I'm going to stay in the car and let the air conditioner keep me cool, and we'll just travel like that. And you get out in the afternoon and you think, boy, it's warm. But these guys, were sitting on a horse or walking beside a camel and in the blazing hot sun, and, somehow they survived and got through. Yeah, it's really something. The last one I just followed up just recently was the Burke and Wills expedition, and I guess it's probably the best known expedition in Australian history. If they hadn't have died, they wouldn't be anywhere near as famous. That's for sure.
That's right. That's it. And was it that thirst for knowledge of our country that led you to start writing your popular guidebooks on outback travel to the Flinders and Cape York and the Kimberley and just how much work was involved in writing those guidebooks?
Yeah, well, I mean, we went up to Cape York a couple of times, and then in 1980 we actually got to the very top. And, we were sitting there on the Jardine after having spent 3 weeks north of the Jardine around Somerset and the very tip and all that sort of stuff. And we were sitting on the southern banks of the Jardine and talking to a few people who were heading north and who'd been north as well. And, they were saying, oh, there's nothing to do up here, there's nothing to see. And I'm thinking, well, geez, I've been up here for 3 weeks already, and there's plenty to do. So, that was the trigger, I guess, to write our first guidebook. That was, and we published that. The first edition of that was about 83 or 84, and we've been writing that ever since. The book went through 14 editions under our brand, and then we sold our guidebook business to Hammer Maps, and we do the same for them. At the moment, I'm working on a series of maps for them on the remote coast of South Australia.
It might be a bit of a generalisation, but do you worry sometimes about the sort of seemingly ignorant urban dwellers these days in Australia who don't realise just how much is out in the country regions of Australia?
Yeah, look, travel in Australia is booming at the moment, isn't it?
And
there's a lot of people buying a four-wheel drive for the first time and buying a camper trailer for the first time and heading bush. And I love to see that. That's one of the main reasons I like writing and like writing guidebooks and things like that, is to motivate people to go out and see this fabulous country of ours. But I do despair that some of them are biting off more than they chew, and they want to run before they can walk, really. And they get out there and do silly things and, are not well prepared and not well enough experienced to go into the remoter places. So it's a concern, that's for sure.
Yeah, you definitely recommend a four-wheel drive course and then starting off with shorter trips first, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah, my word, mate. Either that or, look, there's a couple of options. A course is a really good thing to start off with. And then I think you either join a club. A lot of people don't like joining clubs, so, join a tour operator and head off bush with them and do a couple of trips with a tour operator and get the feel of it, and you learn an awful lot. I mean, we've just had it. I just joined my son on a trip that he was running up in Central Australia, and we had to dodge flooded roads and closed roads and all that sort of thing, but we gave the people a good trip and they learned things. These people have got a lot of equipment and got really good equipment, but really don't know how to use a lot of it. So we gave them a bit of a brief rundown on how to do winching and snapping recoveries and those sorts of things, and how to change a tyre and what to look for under the bonnet. And it's fairly simple stuff if you've been doing this sort of stuff all your life like I have been. But, for a lot of people, they just haven't been exposed to those experiences.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's like I've been on a few outback journeys myself, and I always wonder, when you're driving in the middle of nowhere, what's on the other side of those sand dunes or behind that ridge to my right, and
Yeah.
Do you think there's still plenty to see here in Australia in terms of those unique and remote locations that people still haven't seen much of?
Yeah, look, obviously it's getting harder and harder to go remote these days because of so many people travelling. And a lot of our remoter countries is in Aboriginal land, which takes a fair bit of organising and getting permits for. Not impossible, but in a lot of cases, it's you still got to jump through those hoops. And they are fabulous experiences. But once again, you can go. If you're new to the game, you shouldn't be going out there initially. And like I said, you should try and walk before you run. And you don't want to go and do the Madigan Line or the Canning Stock route as your first desert experience. You want to try a few other smaller trips. Maybe along the South Australian Victorian border that sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure, mate. And over all those years you've been wandering around Australia, you must have met some amazing characters. Have there been any sort of real standouts?
Oh, dear. Look, there's been quite a few. I remember interviewing an old stockman or a couple of old stockmen that drove cattle on the Canning Stock route back in the 1940s and early 1950s. And they were enlightening. They're just talking with them, and they were tough guys. I mean, driving a mob of cattle down there and then hand winding the water up from deep underground in the wells there to water the cattle. And, each cow takes 12 gallons of water, and there's 400 of them and all that sort of stuff. That's a lot of water to shift, mate.
It's a lot of water. It most definitely is.
Yeah.
It most definitely is.
No, we've had some, I've had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing and talking to and travelling with some great people. Dennis Bartell has been a long-time friend of mine, and we've done a couple of trips together, and the last one was a few years ago when, as part of celebrating his 40 years of travelling across the Simpson Desert, we went out and done the Madigan Line with him. He was the first bloke to successfully drive the Madigan Line back in the 70s, it was part of Overlander magazine. Michael Richardson joined him on that trip, but Dennis was an incredible bushman, and he found a lot of Aboriginal wells in the Simpson Desert, and I don't think there would be anybody alive today who knows the Simpson as well as he.
We have a special offer for all our listeners. Subscribe to our AG magazine for 6 months for just $39.99 and save 10% on the newsstand price. That's 3 issues of our award-winning magazine delivered to your home for just $39.99. You'll find our special subscription offer at australiangeographic.com.au/talkingaustralia. That's australiangeographic.com.au/talkingaustralia.
And speaking of these big trips and all these guidebooks and things you create, obviously you're not there by yourself. Viv's been by your side the whole time. That must be a joke about the ultimate test of a great marriage there, mate, for sure.
Yeah, well, look, Viv and I have travelled together for a long time, and she's really the backbone of the whole thing, mate. I just try and put words into this thing, and she keeps me on the straight and narrow and organises things and then proofreads my stuff. And then, of course, she's got her own series of cookbooks out as well. And in fact, she's just bringing out a new cookbook as an e-book, and that'll be available soon on the web and all that sort of thing. So, I mean, she does a fabulous job. I wouldn't be anywhere without her, that's for sure.
No, that's great, mate. And, of course, she also has accompanied you overseas. You've done a lot of overland travel in Africa and Europe as well and things like that. So it's not just been Australia, has it?
No. We sort of got tangled up with going overseas. I'd been to Africa quite a few times. And then in 2007 we decided we'd run tours in Southern Africa, and we took a group of Australians over there and led them around for 3 or 4 weeks in Southern Africa. And then I headed off, Viv and I headed off, and we'd done 9 months through Africa, heading from the southernmost tip of Africa through to the northernmost tip, and Of course, you get to England after that and you think, well, we might as well drive home. We're not going to ship the vehicle home. So we drove across Russia and ended up in Vladivostok and finally got home. And then we thought, well, you know, done all that, we can't leave the rest of the world out. So then we went and done the Americas from the southernmost tip.
That's a long way from the Birdsville.
From the southernmost tip of South America to as far north as you can drive in Alaska. And you know, that sparked a whole new love affair with that sort of thing. And we've got a vehicle in the United States and we go over there for, well, we were going over there for, you know, 2 or 3 months, 4 months every year to tour Canada and Mexico and the United States. But COVID's got in the way for a little while now. Worse luck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, mate. I mean, all that overseas travel, it's a long way from Birdsville Hotel, isn't it?
yeah, and but there is an awful lot to see in Australia and an awful lot to experience, and while traveling overseas is great and all that sort of stuff, you know, what I found is that it's easier to get remote in Australia than in most other countries in the world. You can get away from people in Australia easier than you can in America, and certainly easier than you can in Europe and things like that.
That's a definite. I mean, you just look at all the desert country in the middle of our continent. There's not many people there.
No, that's right. That's right. And I mean, this year, the desert country of Central Australia is just going to be magic. In fact, I was reading a report this morning on the ABC website that the budgerigars are just increasing hugely in numbers up in, and big flocks are moving around in Central Australia. And I don't know whether you've ever been privileged enough to stand under a flock of couple of thousand budgerigars as they whirl overhead. The sound of the wings and their chirruping is unbelievable. And then, of course, I was in Roma Gorge in the very west of the McDonnell Ranges, and I just walked in there. And it's not a very big gorge or anything like that. It's one of the least spectacular gorges off the Western Max. Still a nice place, though. And this big mob of budgerigars just roared up behind me, and I was absolutely flabbergasted, and I was just sort of, whoa, yeah, just looking up at them, and all of a sudden a falcon done a big stooping dive and threw them and clobbered one of them right above my head. And it was just, everything happened so quickly. I didn't even think about the camera. In fact, I was just sort of gobsmacked at the whole scene.
Yeah, that's incredible. And those places to see that sort of thing, are they really?
Yeah. And there's, you know, things like that. And so this year is going to be an incredible year for Central Australia, and I hope a lot of people get out there and really enjoy it. And you don't have to get off on a four-wheel drive track. I mean, there's, you know, the good bitumen roads around Central Australia, and you can spend easily a couple of weeks wandering through there. And of course, there's all the, you know, well-known places like Uluru and stuff like that and Kings Canyon. But the gorges of the Western Max and even the Eastern Max are just fabulous. And, yeah, just a great experience to be out there.
Mate, I'm going to put you on the spot now and ask you, what is your favourite or best off-road adventure or outback travel trip you've ever done or would like to do?
Oh, well, I really enjoy some of the cross-country stuff that we've done, going out to you know, wells that early explorers found, and these are generally native wells that the explorers found and wrote up in their diaries and stuff like that, and they're still extremely remote, and I loved going out to those places. I guess I really got a great taste for that back in the late 80s when I joined Glen Ridge on a trip out to Chugakuri, which is south of Balgo in the desert country there, and it's Michael Terry was the first European there in the 1927-28, and we went there in 19, you know, about 50 years later or 60 years later, whatever it was, and it was just a fabulous cross-country trip. You know, you're down to 40-50 kilometers a day, you know, quite a few tire punches, all those sorts of challenges, very remote country, and you get into these little places that are just fantastic. And got this, you know, incredible history about them of Aboriginal occupation and how they survived out there, and then the Europeans who came along and used them as staging spots to get across the desert.
Yeah, that's really incredible, mate. The other thing is, you know, speaking of trips and the future, what does 2021 and beyond have in store for Ron and Viv Moon?
Oh, well, we're doing some travelling in Australia this year, and we're heading over to Sojourner in a week's time, and in South Australia, and then heading up through the Aboriginal lands. This has been a real saga because up until yesterday, the Aboriginal lands were all closed. They've just reopened a number of the tracks and a number of the communities. So we're heading up on the Connie Sue and then the Garry Highway and Talawana track, and we'll end up at Cape Curtin on the northwest coast of Australia, north of Port Hedland. And so we've got to do that. And then I'll spend a couple of weeks camped on the beach at Ningaloo with some friends. It's one of the top places in Australia. Yeah, you can camp on the beach there, and the reef is just offshore, and pristine waters, and all that sort of thing. You know, we camped there the first time back in the 70s, and there was nobody around in those days. And now you've got a book. And, I was looking at the campsite for Windabandy Point, which is on Ningaloo Station, which National Parks now run, and. Yeah, there's 50-odd campsites, and if you don't get in on the first day that they are open for bookings, you don't get a site. Things have changed a bit, but nonetheless, it's still a magical place.
Yeah, wow, mate. So it would be hard to say you've probably got the best job in the world, really, would it?
Well, you know, I don't know. You've got a pretty good one, mate, but but I've got to say, it beats a real job. I was an electronics technician in the Army, and after 20 years of that, I thought, I can't handle this anymore. And, I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing. It mightn't be rich in monetary terms, but you're rich in other ways, hey?
Oh, most definitely, mate. I totally agree there. And, look, Ron, thanks for your time today. It was great to catch up again. I'm sure those listening will now be even more keen to explore Australia now, mate. So have a good one, and just take your time travelling around, mate. There's no rush to come back anymore, is there?
Yeah, no worries, mate. No, thanks for the opportunity, and I just hope some of our listeners get out there and enjoy this fabulous country of ours.
For sure. Thanks, Ronnie.
Okay, see you, mate. Bye.
That's it for today's episode of Talking Australia. If you have questions or comments, feel free to reach out. Write us an email, podcast@australiangeographic.com, or find us on Instagram at Australian Geographic. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks for listening. Until next time.